message, Jesus keeps bringing it. Keeps bringing it. And so if you want to fill in the blank for it, just put in hope. Jesus keeps bringing hope. And as we go along each week, you can fill in the blank. Jesus keeps bringing it. He has an endless source of the good things that we need to live this life. And not just to survive, but to thrive. And so Jesus keeps bringing hope. Sometimes the people that ought to be able to see, the people that ought to be able to understand, they just don't. And Jesus was surrounded by people like that. And the biggest offenders were the religious folk, the religious leaders. The Israel of that day was really kind of like a religious state, guided by a couple of thousand years of religious scripture and teaching, by a particular kind of infrastructure and leadership that developed out of the scripture. And then surrounding all of that in that particular time were the occupying Romans. Now, Jesus didn't speak so much to or about the Romans, but he seemed to always be embattled with the religious leadership. These leaders, they could not see and they could not understand Jesus. Or maybe they chose. Maybe they chose not to see. Maybe they chose not to understand. In our passage this morning, twice Jesus exercises miraculous power. Miraculous. And even today, I believe that the miraculous power of Jesus exercised is not something that was just relegated to those days thousands of years ago. But because of Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit fills his people today. And that same power is ours to be exercised. Jesus told his disciples, you will do even greater things. Even greater things. So twice in this passage, we see this miraculous power exercised. Twice, Jesus brings it. He brings blessing. He brings healing. He brings the unexpected. Twice, Jesus brings freedom to someone crippled and brings freedom to someone in bondage. Both unexpected. Twice, Jesus impacts the crowds that had gathered around to watch and to see if Jesus or what Jesus would do. That's expected. Crowds like to see some miraculous happening, wherever it is, whether it's at the mall or at the church. Crowds gathered. That's to be expected. And twice the Pharisees ridiculed and plotted. And that's to be expected. So you have the unexpected, what it is that Jesus brings. And why is it that that is what is unexpected? And then you had the responses to Jesus, which were expected. So, with that kind of duality in play, let me read the passage. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Then he, that's Jesus, said to the man, stretch out your hand. So the man stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other one. Unexpected. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Expected. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Which is, let me just stop there and say, That's always a bad sign, anytime Jesus withdraws. The book of Revelation, the first three chapters, talks about how if churches are not careful, that the lampstand will be removed from that church. And some people have said, well, that the lampstand is the pastor or whatever. I believe that the lampstand is in the flame that's there represented is symbolic of the presence of God's Holy Spirit in the midst of a people. And that can be lost. That can be removed. There's a story in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God is removed, and the word for that is Ichabod. And it's a spiritual reality in the Old Testament, and it's a spiritual reality that can be true today. It is never a good thing when Jesus removes himself. Now, in the story, Jesus is getting away from danger, the threat to his life. But I still think Jesus was in step with the Spirit as he withdrew himself. A large crowd, though, still followed him. Verse 15, and he healed all who were ill. Unexpected. He warned them not to tell others about him. Unexpected. Why not, Jesus? You've done a good thing for me. I want to proclaim it, tell everybody. Jesus said, no, don't tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah says this, here is my servant whom I have chosen. So the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, and old ancient words are foretelling the person of Jesus. Here is my servant, that's Jesus, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, God is speaking. And he, that's Jesus, will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. When he stood before Pilate, what did Jesus say? Nothing. No one will hear his voice in the streets. Verse 20 speaks about the person of Jesus. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. I love how that describes the person of Jesus. In his ministry and presence thousands of years ago, in terms of how Jesus was with people, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. That's talking about hurting people. And Jesus was with people in a way that cared for them and saw them and heard them and knew what it was that they needed in their lives, the help that they needed. Jesus has this to say about the religious leaders of his day. You know, you pile a whole bunch of stuff on people, a bunch of teaching and unnecessary things, and you don't even lift a finger to help them. That's what Jesus said. And the prophet Isaiah says about Jesus, he will do the opposite of that. He will not only lift a finger to help people, he will be lifted up on the cross to save people. The prophet Isaiah says, he will not break broken people. He will not take that flame that is in us that might right now be smoldering, and he'll not snuff it out. So I love how that describes the ministry of Jesus and the way that Jesus was with people and the way that he still is today with people. Verse 22. This is another way that Jesus responded in an unexpected way. Verse 22. Then, as if that wasn't enough, then they brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. Unexpected. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. expected. The religious leaders plotted against and they accused Jesus. They would not see and they would not understand who Jesus was or why he was doing what he was doing. They ought to. If anybody knew the Old Testament scriptures and prophecies and all that was foretold of the Messiah, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us, of all the things that were written and prophesied about Jesus, it is these very religious leaders who ought to know it. And yet they would not see and they would not understand. And yet Jesus kept bringing it. Despite resistance from the most powerful people in his world, Jesus kept bringing it. Jesus kept on bringing the healing, even though his healing of someone brought skepticism and doubt. Jesus kept bringing it. Jesus kept on bringing spiritual boldness by carrying out his Father's will, even though no one seemed to really believe. He kept bringing it. Jesus kept on bringing victory over Satan, kicking the demons out and releasing people from the chains. Jesus kept bringing it. Jesus kept on doing the work of the kingdom in the face and in the presence of powerful leaders who threatened his very life. And Jesus kept on bringing it. Jesus kept on bringing it when he was threatened after healing and restoring a man's crippled hand. Jesus packed up and kept on moving on to the next mission, on to the next person, on beyond what anyone could hope for or imagine. Jesus kept on bringing it. He did it then and he does it still today. And today, on this first Sunday of Advent, 2024, a season of anticipation and of preparation, Jesus is still bringing it. He's bringing grace. He's bringing forgiveness. He's bringing hope and peace and joy. He's teaching us how to love others like he loves us. He is still calling us. He's calling us to go out into all the world and make disciples of men and women and people everywhere, young and old, everywhere we are and everywhere he calls us to go. Jesus is still bringing it. He is still teaching his ways and prompting us to obey him. Jesus is still building his church. Amen. And he is still purifying his bride. He is still coming again, church. And he will bring with him an army of the saints and heavenly hosts to put an end to Satan, praise God, and to put an end to death and put an end to the grave. Jesus keeps bringing hope. And though there will always be Pharisee types who plot and who doubt and who accuse, yet they will have no more success quieting Jesus' people or squelching the power of Jesus' spirit than the Pharisees did. They're dead, and Jesus is alive. Amen. They're silent, and Jesus still speaks. They're forgotten, and Jesus keeps on bringing healing and freedom and hope and peace and joy and love and forgiveness and justice and righteousness and restoration and rebuilding and renewal and recreating. He just keeps on bringing it. and nothing and no one can stop him.
Hallelujah.
And he is here today. He is here with us today to bring it all to us again today in this place, as he has week after week after week, and as he will from this day forward, week after week after week. Jesus still bringing all that he has for us once again in this place. Praise the Lord. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Which is basically just another way of saying, praise the Lord. I'm not going to be off color here, but I was thinking about it this past week. You know how sometimes when something really good happens and we're not thinking like that we're church folks, we might say something like, heck yeah. Sometimes I think that's what hallelujah is. It's kind of a church way of saying, heck yeah. Praise the Lord. We get the victory. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. For bringing it again today. Thank you, Lord, for being here again today. Thank you, Lord, for seeing in us more than we could ever see in ourselves again today. And thank you, Lord, for calling us to go with you and to follow you onward to things, yes, even greater things than we could hope or imagine. Lord, continue to bring it, Lord, all that you have to give. And Lord, when we show up on a given day, a given Sunday, Lord, might we bring with us hands that have been emptied of the things that we cling to in our own human ways. Things that could never fill us, could never satisfy us. Might we bring empty hands so that we might receive from you what you bring. Lord, hearts that have been cleansed of just the clutter of this world. Ears that have been filled with the noise of this world, that we might bring hearts open and ears and minds open to you, Lord, so that we might receive again today what it is that you bring to give to us. Continue your good and gracious work. Lord, continue the work that you have begun, even in this place, the work that you have begun, that you will see onward to completion. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for friends who are gathered today in this place to worship you, to tune our hearts to you, Lord. Might it please you, and might you continue your good work in us and through us, and beyond us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.